North Rock Podcast.
Good morning, North Rock. Well, if you haven't been able to surmise by this point, today's topic, what we're going to be talking about is money, money, money. Money, right? You guys ever hear that song? How about, you know, this is probably a song I shouldn't confess that I listened to when I was a young man. And there's a lot of them, right? There's a lot of songs that I'm not even going to go there. But a lot of times we find ourselves with our mind on our money and our money on our mind, right? So it would make sense that when we come to church, that there are those times when we talk about money. You guys okay with that this morning? How many of you guys know that the way that we steward our money, the way that we live our lives and work with what God entrusts us in money is a very important subject in the Bible? It is. And yet, I know because of excess that has been done in the church before, I know because of maybe some televangelist type of interactions that we've had before, that there's also a deep-seated kind of mistrust of finances in the church. That when we come to church, we can approach it with the attitude of, oh, the church, all they want is my money. Can I tell you that's not true here? Can I tell you that there's nobody in this church getting rich? Promise you. You don't get into ministry to get rich, okay? It's a bad career choice if that's what your goals are in life, right? Okay, I can promise you that we have a church council. We have authorities that have been placed over us through our district or denomination, and we have systems in place to make sure that every dime that is given to this church is stewarded in a way that causes His kingdom to go forward. Isn't that a good thing? It's a good thing, okay? But I also know that in any church situation, that the majority of us that are sitting in here today would say, I want to be more generous towards God's work in this world. And so my job this morning isn't to try to convince you that we should be generous, that we should steward our resources in a way that honors God, but rather to be honest and say that a lot of times at the end of the month, we got a little more month than we got money. Anybody with me in that, right? And if we were honest, how many of us would be so bold to do something that's as uncomfortable as you can think of? Raise our hand and say, I would like to be more financially free in my life. I would like to know that the way I'm stewarding what God has given me, what He's entrusted to me, which is His, right? So if you would, just keep that hand up in here. And on this hand, I think we have kind of a metaphor and illustration that we want to be those people. We want to do that, but we do know that we need to be more financially free. We know that we could use more towards the end of the month. But by the other hand, how many of us believe what we've been talking about in Soak? That God's purpose in His life is to give us life abundant. And we have to believe that God wants to give us financial abundance if we're going to be good stewards, right? Because if all we look is what we have, we won't act in faith and walk out what God would have us do. And so the reason that I had our hands up, one, is because I like when people are worshiping the Lord. I like when we raise our hands to the Lord and say, Lord, we're submitted to You in this area and every area of our life, right? But the other reason is because I believe that there's a picture, there's a metaphor in this, that the only way we can really walk out good stewardship in this world that has all kinds of tripping hazards for us financially is if we keep that one hand out to God, saying, God, we believe that You can give us a grace to be generous. We believe that You want to bless us abundantly. And we believe that there isn't anybody that tries to lie and steal and distort and keep us from trusting You in that. So I've got to keep one hand up, but then I got to take the other hand, I got to extend it, knowing that I've been blessed to be a blessing, right? The minute I take this hand and I just shove it in here and go, got mine, right? That spigot can slow, right? But when God can trust us to say, I can abundantly pour out blessing for You. I can abundantly pour out the financial that you need. But you got to trust Me in it. Now, I know that we live in a time where our economic systems are all kind of discombobulated, right? I know that there are some challenges that are in this room. In fact, I know, just because I know the numbers, I know the situations, I know churches in general in America, that probably 80% of us that are sitting here today are either bound by debt, and so we have this desire to be generous people, but we're restricted because of debt in our life, or we've been distracted by excess. Would you say that's fair? 80% that we can get distracted by excess. How many of you guys know there's some nice, shiny things in this world that I would like to buy, that I would like to have? And it becomes this vicious cycle of, ooh, look at that, shiny things. And then realizing, oh, man, that's a 14-year payment, right? And so that kind of weighs in on us, okay? But today what I'd like to talk about is simply the foundation of strong financial priorities in our lives. In the same way that the scriptures have a lot to say about our physical lives, the way we steward our emotional lives, the way we steward our time, he has a lot to say about how we steward our finances. And so I'd like to just pray over us, and then I'd like to take the approach today than rather trying to convince you or for a worse situation, like this is some kind of shakedown, ushers, bar the doors. Okay, promise you there's not going to be any special offerings taken up. Offering's already gone, so we can relax. We can just be mellow. Okay, but I just want to share with you five reasons why I personally practice tithes and offerings. Is that fair? A little sidebar from your pastor. Can we do that today? Is that good use of our time today, you think? Good. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have not left us here all alone. And Lord, as we have made it our heart's desire as a congregation to soak in you, to remember your promises, to spend time with you, and to get that word of revelation for us. Lord, I pray that your revelation would bring release in our finances. Lord, just as we've experienced a release, we've experienced the reward of us paying attention to what you say about all these other areas as we go into the new year, Lord, we make it our heart's desire to set the rhythms of our financial lives to honor you and to see your purposes extended in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. So, how many of you guys know that there are not just hundreds, but thousands of verses in the scriptures, thousands of passages that talk about how we steward, about how we handle money, about how we live out a life that's submitted to the Lord in Christ, right? In fact, there's over 2,000 verses that talk about this important subject. Now, that's 10 times as many as the subject of even salvation or faith. Did you guys know that? And so I thought today we would just start a 52-week series, and we're going to go through all 2,000 of them. So I knew that would be your response, so we won't do that. That's a bad idea. So then I decided, well, we'll just read all 2,000 today. How about that? The longest church service ever, right? No, we won't do that either, okay? But I do want to share just a few of them that are meaningful to me, that really have brought me from a place of, as we all go through, when we start giving to the Lord, when we start giving to his purposes, it's usually because it's a transactional thing, right? Can we all be honest? That we usually start as kind of what I call tippers in the kingdom, right? It's like, all right, I got my dollar, it's in my hand, that offering bag is coming by, and bloop, plop that thing in there. Sometimes we try to plop it in there, and we just have to pry our fingers off of it, right? But that's how it works. And it's promises from God's word that say, test me in this, like that Malachi verse that we just saw, right? That we start to say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you in this, I'm going to test you in it, and I'm hoping to get some return on investment here, right? And there are a lot of us here today that have taken that challenge, have done that, and have walked that out for a long time. But I hope that we all would agree also that God's heart is never to leave us where he finds us, right? That we don't want to just be tippers in the kingdom, but we want to become generous givers. We want to be sacrificial givers. We want to be people who at the end of the day can say, God, we stewarded everything that you gave us in our life in a way that caused your kingdom to go forward. Is that the heart of this church? I'm telling you, it's the heart of the leadership. We just planted, we sent away a bunch of good people to plant a church. We just sent away a really great gal from our staff to go be a full-time missionary. That's how generous this congregation is. And so again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. We're the folks in church, right? But we want to be a people who continue to grow and move towards being really generous people. Why is that important? Because it reflects the heart of God to the community that's watching us. You guys agree with that? That when we live generously, we reflect the heart of God. And he can trust us even more to pour out more into our lives. How many of you guys know that in Christ, that abundance is available today, right now, in all these areas, right? And yet it takes some particular behaviors on our part, it takes some rhythms of our life to actually partner and to participate in the blessing that he has over us. So here are kind of your David Letterman top five. I'm not going to do the top 10 because we don't have time for it. Top five reasons why your pastor practices first fruits offering. and tithes. And the first one is simply this, that from my study of the scripture, from God's faithfulness in my life, I believe that the tithe is holy. Holy is just a word that says it's set apart. It's not mine to steward, it's his, right? For those of you that don't know the word tithe, it's 10%. Okay, and you can see that in the scriptures throughout Old Testament history, the end of the New Testament, that there's always that first fruit, that first son, that first lamb that the people came to honor God with, right? I don't tithe because I have to. I don't tithe because it's my bill. I tithe because it honors God and because I'm grateful for what he's done in my life. See, I can give you the testimony if we had time of when Jody and I first entered the ministry, Thanksgivings where we didn't have anything to eat because we were just serving and there wasn't a lot of resource coming in. And somebody shows up and gives us a frozen turkey. I can tell you God comes through every single time. I'd love to just go down the list. I can tell you a time when we were going to celebrate Christmas, we didn't have any Christmas lights. Somebody shows up with a tree. Didn't tell them, didn't say, hey, we don't have Christmas lights. They showed up, they gave us a tree. They kind of met that need, that they were listening to the Lord and he took care of us, right? I tithe because I believe there's a spiritual principle or a spiritual law that the first redeems the rest. That when we honor God with our first fruit, right, then he is released to bless and extend and expand the rest of it. Does that make sense? How many of you guys have people over for Super Bowl parties? Okay? Some of us, I'm not asking to be invited. You can raise your hand. You can relax. I'm not inviting myself to your party. But let me ask you this. Yeah, okay, Tom's having one. He's willing to admit it now, right? Yeah, okay. Well, I got to know, how many of you guys are pulling out last night's leftovers to take care of your guests that are coming? We don't do it that way, do we? Well, I'm really hoping you guys will be honest with me, raise your hands, because I need to know which of you I can trust to come eat at your house. Because if I come over to your house and you give me last night's leftovers, I'm not going to be happy, right? But that's kind of the idea behind it, is that when we trust God and we say, Lord, I want to be a generous person, I'm going to set this aside, I'm going to honor you first, and when we do that, then we don't have to worry about how much month is left after the money, right? It becomes his challenge, not ours. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 through 12 say, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Okay, so I know not many of us here live in an agricultural or an agrarian society, right? We don't have many vats and barns represented in the, no. But we can all infer, right, that that's about it's about our living. It's about how we live, right? There was, again, I believe that the spiritual law that the first redeems the rest. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce, the first fruits, right? Then he will fill your barns with grain. Do we believe that today, church? Yes. We believe it. Verse 11 says, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Okay? So here's the second part of this, that in order for us to really experience the freedom that God has, the abundance that God has for us, there's some discipline involved. That discipline is reminding ourselves of whose resources we actually are stewarding in our lives. And I know everybody in this place works hard for what we get, right? Good work ethic, it's our education, it's showing up, it's doing the hard things. There's a lot of complexities when it comes to the issue of finance. If we don't honor God as the first, then we're always working off of a foundation that's not settled, right? You know, my wife lives or came from Ruidos, New Mexico, and about 6 years back, they built this beautiful building with kind of a kids kind of restaurant and all kinds of games, and we were really looking forward to going back there the next year when we visited. And found out that they got shut down by the city. Do you know why they got shut down? Because they didn't take care of their foundation. So there's this beautiful million-dollar building sitting there, and not one person's been able to use it because they didn't take care of the foundation, right? Church, my prayer is that we will take care of the foundation, that we will remember that the first fruits are God's, that the tithe is holy, that it's set apart as unto him, okay? Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12, we read a portion of that, but I'd like to read the whole thing with you today, simply because It's I think the weight of what God is trying to communicate to us in this principle is found in it. So if you'll read along with me, it says, I am the Lord, I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and you've failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have not ever gone away? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? Okay, you have cheated me on the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the heavens. I'll open the windows of heaven for you. I'll pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them for your insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Okay, can you guys see that principle all throughout those scriptures? That God's promise is to provide, but it takes an active faith in partnering and doing what he's asked us to do in this area of tithing, right? Second reason that I, as your pastor, practice tithes and offerings is because I know that where my money goes first determines my heart's allegiance, that it protects me from greed, covetous behaviors, and many other forms of self-indulgent behavior. I know it may shock you to think that your pastor actually has some of those, right? No, that doesn't shock Ed, because Ed knows me, right? But the reason I do it is because it creates a boundary around my life. It really addresses the issue of sovereignty in my life. It answers the question of who will I worship? You guys remember that verse from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21? It says this, don't store up treasures on earth where moth eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal, because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. How many of you guys like me sometimes think that the other way? That my heart, where my heart is, those treasures will be, right? It says where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So if my treasures are in building up God's kingdom, eternal purposes in life, guess where my heart's going to be? Right? That's kind of how it works. Because in verse 24 it says, no one can serve two masters. Turn to somebody today that needs to hear this word. I know it's not you, but for somebody else, right? And tell them no one. Oh, that's like three of you. Come on. We got more than that in us, don't we? Come on. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. No one can do that. And the reason that I tithe, the reason that that's an issue in my life, is because it reminds me of who I serve. It reminds me of who my God is. And it protects me from all the false idols in this world that wants my allegiance. You guys remember the first part of John 10:10 that the thief is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy? That's always happening at the same time that God's promises are true. And by doing this, it's me putting it back in his face and saying, no, my God is who I look to. He is the one that has given me everything that I have, right? Third reason that I tithe and practice first fruit offerings is simply because it reminds me of who my provider is. It reminds me of where my help comes from, right? It reminds me that I am his and that I am valuable to him and that my money comes from the blessing of his hand on my life, right? Psalm 121 says, I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I need that reminder. That's part of what happens when I'm tithe, when I offer tithes and offerings. I'm reminded that this isn't about my own giftings, my own prowess, my own work ethic, my own education, my own. It's about a God that wants to bless me and a God that has great things for me and that who is looking out for my very interests. Some of us here today, that's all you need to hear today, is that God's looking out for your interests. In Christ, God is looking out for your best interests. And we have to keep that hand believing those things, or else this hand starts to go here, right? We start to withhold. We start to try to manipulate and find our own way through, right? But Luke says, don't do that, and rather do this way. Give and it will be given to you. Luke 6, verse 38 says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure that you use, you will be measured back to you. Okay, so again, tithing is directly tied to that personal blessing, right? Fourth reason that your pastor, and I know I'm moving fast. I apologize that we're not able to really comment all these and add all kinds of illustrative stories with it, but I want to get through all five of them this morning. Number four is, by practicing tithes and offerings, we ensure provision for God's vision for the church and to extend his mission around the world, his expanding and ongoing kingdom work, right? Is that important to us as a people? You guys see how the way we steward the things that God brings into our life affects that, right? It's important that we understand that when I practice tithes and offerings, it's a blessing, it's a privilege, but it also has an outworking, right? That those bank accounts that we just read about that are stored up in heaven, it's not some weird IRA where, you know, gold's going to be something different. We're going to go, check it out, baby. Look at all this money I have up here. It's lives. It's souls. It's countries that we haven't yet brought to Christ. It's this whole north area where just a generation ago, 80% of the people used to come to church because they knew Jesus, and now only 20% do. It's the creativity, it's the ability to not only attract and retain great talent so that we can be more expressive in the creative ways that we try to reach people for Christ. But when I practice tithes and offerings, we ensure together that provision for God's vision and his church goes forward. Okay, everybody hand back up in the air one time. I got something for you. Okay, because I know we're talking about this a lot, right? So we got to keep doing this. Here, here, here. Here, right? Because if we just look at this, we go, oh, geez, man, I'm in trouble already. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Can I tell you, there is great vision in this church. Can I tell you that the ministries and the hearts of the people in this church for outreaches, for Laundry Love, for all kinds of organizations and ways that we can just bless and show love to the city that we've been planted in. It's unreal. There's vision popping up everywhere. I mean, how exciting would it be if North Rock had such a strong financial profile that we could go to our city leaders and say, hey, I know you guys have been having problems in this area. We'd like to bless you. We'd like to help with that. We'd like to give something towards that. And I know we do that in a ton of ways in our service, but this promise is also a financial one. That when we steward God's resources in a way that honors him first, then he pours out more than we can contain, right? Those aren't my words. That's what we just read, right? We believe it because we receive it. We get that word of revelation, and then we act on it. That's the rhythm part. We need to soak in these scriptures, church. We need to believe that God doesn't just want us to get by. We need to believe that he isn't just saying, well, you know, if you just hold on to that penny a little tighter, you'll be okay. That's not the heart of our God. It's not the heart of our God. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 10 says this, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. That's one of the verses I'd like to hear our city folks, not just at the city building, but throughout our city, say, that North Rock Church, man, they are generous folks. They are always ready in every good work, and they're prepared to meet a need, right? In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, there's a section of scripture from verses 6 through 18. It kind of talks about a season in the temple where the people were coming forward and they were bringing their gifts to the leaders. And it talks about the gold, and it talks about, you know, just the incredible generosity that they're bringing for the building of the temple. And David, in response to their generosity and the willingness of their leaders to freely give and not withhold from the Lord, prayed this prayer. And this is one of my favorites from that section. It says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God and the Father of Israel, and from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you, for you are the ruler of all things, and your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all." Some of us today, we just need to hear that word today. That God has strength, he has resource, and he has plans to see you prosper in this next year. That's what we're talking about. Not just making New Year's resolutions, but getting a revelation and coordinating our lives' rhythms to really walk out what God would have for us. And in this particular season of that, of the church's life and the temple there, it says, "Now, our Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your glorious name." But David gets a little more introspective here, and he says, "But who am I, and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as we do? Everything comes from you, and we have been given only what comes from your hand," right? You guys remember the story of kind of the birth of the New Testament church, right? Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4. It says that the way that that community of faith stewarded their resources together was so generous that there wasn't a need that wasn't met in all of the people of that community. Isn't that a good place to live? And it says that in Acts chapter 4, verse 34, it says, "There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need." Now, I'm just saying, I didn't notice anybody come and lay anything at my feet today. When you came, I don't know where it changed from 1 Chronicles till now, right? Come on, lighten up. I'm not serious. You don't have to sell your house and bring it here. But isn't that an amazing, amazing testimony of the generosity of God's people? The church should be known in this world as the most generous people in the world. And it's not a have to, it's a get to. It's a get to. It's his grace of giving through us. It's his generosity that he pours out in and through us. And if we'll keep this, I mean, guys, I'm serious about this. I know I'm kind of overplaying my hand on this thing, but seriously, we have to contend for these promises. That's that word of revelation for you. I don't know which one of these is for you, but I hope you grab a hold of one of them and say, "God, I'm believing you for it." Because how selfish is it of us to say, "I got my needs met, I'm good"? It's not the mission, that's not the kingdom, right? There are peoples whose lives, just like ours did, depend on us stewarding what God would have in our lives. Fifth reason, final reason, and then you guys can exhale. All the anxiety of the quarterly talk about money can dissipate, can leave, right? Fifth reason that I practice tithes and offerings is because it allows me to participate in something greater than I can do on my own. That we is always greater than me. And when we practice God's spiritual purposes for our resources, for tithes and offerings, then one, it doesn't fall on any one person, right? It's a collective strength. But two, I get to celebrate that Tiffany's in Honduras. That we did that as God was faithful through us, right? That we get to plant churches together. That we get to reach new areas of our city. That we get to support the missionaries that we do support all around the world. That we get to do that. So as we kind of conclude, I'm going to ask our worship team to come up. Those are the reasons that I give. Now, I hope that in some of those scriptures you find reason to be challenged to take the next step in your generosity journey. And if we're going to do that, there's two things that need to happen. One, we have to decide that we want to be a generous people, right? Because if we don't make that decision, somebody else will make it for us, right? Just like I said at the beginning of the service, I don't doubt that everybody's intent is to be a generous person. And yet I know, right? Because of the pressures of life that sometimes we probably would say maybe not so generous, right? Can we be honest? And yet we know God's plan that he's revealed is that he wants to bless us. And just like I said before, no pressure to give. I'm not saying this because there's any particular need that we need to address. It says the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be abased and abound. We've been in lean seasons, we've been in abundant seasons. But what we hope is that we would all participate in God's generous plan to bless your lives. That it's the gift that you receive, not the gift that you give, that we're interested in. So we got to decide to be generous people, and then we got to grow in the grace of giving by planning to be generous people. Right? It's got to be a decision and an action that comes with it. And so as we worship, as is our rhythm here at North Rock, that we don't want to just hear the word, but we want to be doers of the word. But you just ask the Lord how the Lord would have you take a step in this area. And maybe today you're saying, I'm good in this, and I know how it goes. People that like healing love to hear healing messages. People like to give, like to hear giving messages. That we're all challenged when we come face to face with the word of God. But today I want to read one more verse over you, and then I'd like us to just respond and worship to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, you must each decide in your own hearts how much to give. And don't give reluctantly. And don't give in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always, again, there's that promise, have everything that you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide an increase your resources and then provide a great harvest of generosity for you. Father, as we worship you, Lord, we come to you and we raise our hands and we say, God, we can't do it on our own. God, the desire is not there. But that through you and through us experience the generosity of your grace. Lord, we entrust everything of our lives to you, including the financial resources that you embedded in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your promises over our finances. Lord, we want to be a people who have an authority in this area because we trust in you and we participate with your plan. Father, encourage our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you that you are not a God who withholds from us. Lord, that you gave your all. And Lord, and in that act at Calvary, Lord, you gave us everything that we need for this life and eternity. Father, we thank you that you are a generous God, that you have good things in store for your people, Lord, as we learn to trust you and walk in the provision and the purpose that you have for your church. And Father, today we acknowledge, we recognize that in this very room, we have some stark financial realities. We have some challenges ahead, personally, corporately. But Lord, we recognize that when we honor you, we release your blessing over us. Lord, help us to be a people who move along that continuum to be regular, consistent, and even generous, sacrificial givers of our time, our energy, and our finance. And Lord, in that, we boldly proclaim your promises over our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are trustworthy, that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond anything we could ever hope or ask for through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, that your blessing would rest upon your people. And Father, for those that today find ourselves either limited in our ability to respond because of debt or distracted by the allure of the worship of money, Lord, I pray that you would bring our hearts centered, balanced in you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, and your power to speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to be a people that both choose and then order our steps, that we both decide and we discipline ourselves to experience your financial freedom. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen and amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.